This is the light of the Word. We thank you for picking up this teaching cassette, and we encourage you to have your Bible ready as Pastor Steve Mays takes us on an in-depth study of the Scriptures.
Light of the Word.
Shining forth the light of Jesus, this is the Light of the Word, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Steve Mays, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel South Bay in Torrance, California. And now, here's Pastor Steve.
Last week, you remember I came to you and shared with you that I had two options as we go through the Bible on Luke chapter 16. One had to deal with tithing, which I oftentimes do not enjoy teaching. I've taught four times on giving in 30 years of my ministry because we've never had to. I believe when God guides, He provides. I believe that is something between you and God. And I don't know who gives and who doesn't. And I have chosen not to know because then I can just love you and not either look up to you or question why you're not committed. Or I could teach on hell. And so I thought I'd teach on hell last week and give you 1 week to get everything together so I could come back and deal with tithing this morning. In the study of the stewardship, it deals with really the importance of more than just your giving. It deals with your whole entire life. It's interesting to me that out of the 38 parables, 16 have to deal with stewardship of giving. Out of the Bible, 500 verses deal with prayer. 500 scriptures deal with faith. 2,000 deal with finances. And I think the problem that we really come to realize is not this morning if you give or you don't. That's between you and God. But in some ways, when I say to you that I haven't spoke to you on giving in 30 years except four times, that is probably a bad thing on my end because I am holding back the blessings of God of you understanding. And so we come this morning to Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 9, as we would go through our expositional teaching. And because we're here, we'll go ahead and deal with it, and then we'll move on. But it was a rude awakening for one man who was now the steward that the master had put him over. I was reading the Wall Street Journal, and there was an interesting quote. Who defines money as a article which has been used as a universal passport to everywhere except heaven, and as a universal provider for everything except happiness. Money will buy a bed, but not sleep. Books, but not brains. Food, but not an appetite. A house, but not a home. Medicine, but not health. Luxury, but not culture, amusement, but not happiness, religion, but not salvation, a passport to everywhere but heaven. For some reason, the Lord chose to speak about money and stewardship. One-fifth of the Bible is about it, so we have to look at it. I find it interesting that He equates the financial end with the spiritual end. You're going to find out today that the reason why many people are not being used by God is because they have not learned to use their own money wisely. If you abuse the money God's given you, if you're not good stewards of the things that God has entrusted you with, If you don't take care of the house or the car or the wife that God's given to you, then when you move it over into the realm of the Spirit, you're still not going to take care of the things of God. And so many times we realize that it's more than just money, it's stewardship. It's about your whole life. It's a very interesting word. It encumbers your whole life. It speaks about your home. It speaks about the way you take care of your car. It speaks about the way you maintain your friendships and the way that you fall in love with your wife and stay in love with your wife. It talks about the stewardship of being single and not giving your body to anyone else until the day that you get married. It talks about the way that you take care of your tools and the way that you keep the place and that you are to be the most worthy employee that an employer could ever have. You are to be better, and you are to be more peaceful and gentle, and you are to add to the company, and you are to be an asset, and you are to be held with tremendous privilege, respect, and accountability. And when you look at Christianity, it's a commitment. It's a commitment to the kingdom of God, to a kingdom of light. It's something that you and I have been adopted to, and we've been saved from this world of darkness. And we have been ushered into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And because we have a new king, and because there's a new kingdom, we have new values, and we have new rules. Once we were in darkness, but now we are the children of light. Once we made an investment in Satan, but now we need to make an investment in the kingdom of God. Once we were slaves to bondage, but now we have been liberated, and we are to be very careful that we never go back into bondage ever again. And so your freedom becomes the most important thing in your whole life. And God desires that you would have a freedom from bondage, a freedom from financial burdens, a freedom from worry and anxiety. And so He came into the world to show you how to live your life. And money and those things were not important to the Lord. It says in the book of Revelation that He will pave the streets with gold. So when God looks upon money, He sees it as asphalt. It has no value to Him whatsoever. The very thing that we live for, the very thing we die for, the very thing, in fact, a new report said that 51% of our thinking is about how to get it, how to keep it, and how not to lose it. That's a lot of time that we spend on money. But the very things that we worship and the very things that we spend our time on, in heaven, they're going to be asphalt. The very diamonds that we desire, the very things that we want to show off will become just a 2x4s in heaven. You see, the real value is you. The real value is how you treat each other. And God is more important, and God is looking for the motive and the heart and the reason why you do it. So sometimes you can be giving, but in God's eyes, you're really not giving. And the reason why is because you're not giving anything that really cost you. Others of you are giving and it is costing you. And the Bible declares that we are not to give unless it cost us. David said, I will not give to the Lord except it cost me. He said to the woman there as she was now ready to give her 2 mites, which is basically a quarter of a cent, her whole year's earning, Jesus stopped the disciples and said, come, let me show you a woman that is giving basically herself. And I hear people tell me all the time, well, you know, why are you teaching on tithing? And I say, I don't. Well, when you do, you talk about the tenth. Well, don't you know that's the law? Well, of course I know that's the law. It was written by Moses there in Deuteronomy, but kind of interesting, the people who say that to me are looking for a way out. Because in the life of Abraham, he gave a tenth. He gave it to Melchizedek. He gave it to Melchizedek far before the law was ever written. He gave it out of the abundance of his heart. He gave it out of the goodness of his life. He gave it out of because of what God did for him. And the word tithe there in the Hebrew means top of the cherry. It's like having a banana split. Sounds real good right now with whipped cream and a cherry. You can have the banana, but give me the whipped cream and a cherry. And God says, no, I'd like to have the whipped cream and cherry. Give me the top of your life, and I'll bless the rest of your life. You build my house, I'll build your house. You build your house, it will never get done. And so there is a issue here that we do need to look at. It says of Jacob that he made a bargain with God. Oh, Jacob, I'll tell you, what a cunning businessman. And he said to God, if you will bless me, I'll give you a tenth. I want 90, you can have 10. And God says, sure, I'll do that. I have nothing now, I'll take a tenth. And I'll give you 90. And so God made the agreement, but that was even before the law was written. And then if you want to get into the law and say, well, now, what about the law? Well, it would be 33 1/3%. Now you're really hurting and stinging. And 33 1/3% would mean that you would have to give every single year 30%, and every third year you'd have to give another 10%, so every year you would give 33 1/3%. And you think, well, that's kind of difficult. I don't want to go there. Well, I don't blame you. That would definitely hurt all of us. The government's done that. And then we come to the New Testament, and we see that the widow once again gave two mites. She gave all. She gave 100% of what she had. It was, you remember Mary breaking the box over the Lord's head, that she took that year's earning, and Judas said, she has wasted it. And the Lord said, wait a second. She has done this as a sacrifice unto me. There as she broke the box, the sweetness came up, and she was written in the Word of God, and she was blessed, and she had more knowledge than all the disciples put together. So there was something God was doing inside this woman's heart. Because she was the woman, you remember, that was sitting at the feet of Jesus, weeping at the feet of Jesus, and she was there also worshiping at the feet of Jesus. And then we come to Zacchaeus. He was up a tree, and Jesus said, hey, I want to come and have lunch with you. And when he came into the house, he turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to tell you, I'll give you 4 times what I've ripped off from everybody else. So he was willing to give 400%. Well, now the Old Testament looks pretty good, 33 1/3%. Well, now 10% doesn't look too bad. Well, the issue is you are to give cheerfully and hilariously. So if you give and say, well, here's my buck, keep it. It doesn't count anyway, so you might as well save it. You see, God doesn't look at really what you give, but the way you give it. It has to be something from the heart, something that you have purpose in your life to do, something that you honestly believe that God has laid before you to minister to the place where you have been fed. And people ask me, do I do offerings or do I do tithe? I believe the tithe is to be given to the place that you are fed. An offering is above that. But I believe that if every one of us would just make a commitment, a lot of things would happen. Forget the church. Number one, the Bible says, wherein have you robbed me? You have robbed me with your tithes and offerings, according to Malachi. So you holding back, you are robbing God, and in robbing God, you are going to pay the price. You say, well, what do you mean I'm going to pay the price? Well, Haggai tells me that there are holes in your pocket. And whenever I become selfish, things go through my hands. Whenever I become greedy, I find that there are holes and things just seem to disappear. And I had the money, but I don't have the money and things are breaking. I don't know what's going on. And so you say, now, wait a second. Is God breaking the car? Well, surely God doesn't want to break your car. And God isn't in the business of destroying your life. He came to save your life. But we know the enemy is here trying to discourage you and bring you down. But the moment that you are right with God, then God will defend you and God will fight for you and God will begin to do the work for you. But as long as you are disobedient to God, then you have opened yourself up and you become a target for the enemy. So if I was to say it the way I probably should say it, statistics tell us that 90% of the body of Christ does not read their Bible. They do not have a devotional life. And 70% of the people do not give to the Lord. So when you look at 70% of the people who are not giving and 90% of the people not reading the Bible, you are dealing with a very carnal church across the United States. And the first thing that God goes after is your heart and a commitment. And so when you look at stewardship, if you can go back and say Genesis 1:1 is for the good, in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth. If you believe that, then you're going to have a difficult time with the area of tithing because, number one, the money is not yours. The time is not yours. All the possessions you have are not yours. You have been given by God what you have to be a good steward of it. Some of you are really sharp businessmen, entrepreneurs. Others of you have been very well blessed financially. Some of us have been just okay and others are struggling. It has nothing to do with where we are. It has to deal with being obedient to God. People say to me, well, do I tithe off the net or do I tithe off the gross? That is the most silliest question in all the world. Now, you're saying to yourself right now, well, now wait a second, that's not a bad question. No, that is a silly question. And that's not to put you down, but that is to try to show you how we justify and how we don't understand. It has nothing to do with net. It has nothing to do with gross. It has everything to do with faith. In other words, it'd be better to say, do you want to be blessed off your net or do you want to be blessed off your gross? That would be the right way of saying it. You see, you will never outgive God, and God will never become a debtor to you. That which you give, He takes, multiplies, adds, runs over, presses down, and gives it back to you 100 times. Let me tell you a little interesting story. About 6 months ago, we wanted to give some money to the Gideon organization. I know the people and the vice presidents and so on, and so we gave $1,000. Well, the very next Sunday, it was kind of neat to realize that the offering went up $10,000. And we had a check for $10,000. So, you know, I was told that, hey, we had a check for $10,000, and I just put the two together, $1,000, $10,000, 100%. And so I came to Wendell, and I said, hey, you know, why don't we just give another $2,000 and see what the Lord wants to do? This is kind of fun, you know. I mean, this is what a way to build a church. And so we gave $2,000, and it goes dollar for dollar Bibles. I mean, that's just a wonderful thing, putting Bibles in people's hands. You can't mess that up. You don't even have to counsel. You just hand them a Bible, and that's a wonderful thing. The following Sunday, we had $20,000 in extra money. Well, about three months ago, you know, when the Gideon guy was here speaking, I looked the window. I said, well, what do you think, window? What do you think? He goes, well, let's go for $5,000. 3 weeks later, we got a donation for $54,000. Now, is that gambling? I don't know, but it's sure fun. I got to tell you. Well, I can show you that versus the stock market. You cannot give to the Lord that God will never give back to you. And so we come to this story, and boy, I wish I had more time, but it's a story very simply about a man who woke up too late. And we read in Luke chapter 16, let me see if I can condense the story and spend a little bit more time with you in this area. But it says in chapter 16, verse 1, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. Now a steward would be a household servant who would be entrusted with the master's goods. He would have power, but he was under authority. He would have wealth, but it wasn't his wealth. The story goes on to tell us that he assumed that he had the power, and he thought that it was his money because he forgot that it was a privilege. He forgot to be responsible, and he forgot that he would be held accountable. So those three words are very important in your vocabulary. It is a privilege being a Christian. It is a privilege being a steward of God, to be entrusted by God with the oracles of God to share with you the Word of God. Therefore, I will give an account for how I teach and how I run this church. That's a very frightening thought to me. Secondly, I am to be responsible for that which He places on my plate. Not to blame other people, but for me to be responsible and to figure out what I must do to make it work in the kingdom of God. And number three, I will one day stand before God and give an account. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer the steward. So he basically, the master says, I need to see the books, and I want to tell you that you are fired. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? Underline that word. What a horrible time. What do you mean, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig because I'm too lazy. I cannot beg because I'm too prideful. I know I'll rip my master off a little bit more. I am resolved what to do, that I am put out of the stewardship. They may receive me into their house. And this is how he solves his problem. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors or his vendors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, set down quickly, and make a check out for 50% of it. So what a deal. The guy looks good, the vendor is blessed, and the master's gonna get mad. Then said he to another, and how much owe thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80% or 80% off. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So the world in business is much wiser than we are as Christians. We're too gullible. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of mammon, of unrighteousness, that when ye fall or fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Now that last verse should render a different way. Learn to use your money for others. So when they get to heaven, they're going to know that it was you that opened the door for them through the gospel of Christ. That would be a better free translation. In other words, as I encourage you to support Russia, as we have missionary people going to Russia, if you have given anything for Russia, anything, even a dollar, then it will go to your account. And every one of those people getting saved, God will give you a reward when you get to heaven. And those people will come and they will find you and they will say, because of your unselfish deed, because of the blood of Christ, I was heard the gospel of Christ from the team from South Bay. So you see, in my mentality, I want to be part of what God is doing through the world. There was another church of a guy that I knew, Pentecostal church, disagreed with his doctrine, but liked the guy. He was my next door neighbor. And he was going over to Columbia or someplace bizarre. And he wanted to know if I would help him. And so I came before the board and I said, hey guys, let's pitch in and pay his airfare. And they kind of looked at me. I said, well, I just think God wants to bless us and everybody getting saved over there, God's going to add to our account. Well, it's a no-brainer. And so I think we sent him $700. He came back. People got saved. Hey, on Calvary Chapel's account, we have insurance there in wherever he went, and I forgot where he went. So the issue at hand is it my money or is it God's money? Well, I find here very simply just a couple things. Number one, why should I give? Well, first of all, I think because giving rewards you eternally. These are four positive things of why you really need to pray about giving. First of all, giving rewards you eternally. In other words, here in chapter 16, verse 9, and I say unto you, make to yourself friends of mammon, of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may bring you everlasting habitation. In other words, when you use your money to spread the gospel through the radio or through the harvest or whatever avenue God speaks to you and they get saved, then it goes to your account in heaven. And so first of all, I think it's a wonderful thing to begin to invest where there's 100%, where God will take what you give Him, add back to you, and you are investing in the very kingdom that you love. Number two, I think secondly, it releases you for ministry. Notice in verse 10 and 11, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in least is unjust also in much." Now check out verse 11. "If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon," in other words, if you haven't paid your bills and haven't been faithful with the money God's given to you, "who will commit to your trust the true riches of God?" So if you're unfaithful at home, unfaithful with your bills, then you're going to be unfaithful with the people of God as you minister to them. If you're going to be a good steward with the ministry, you got to be a good steward in business. The two go hand in hand. And oftentimes, people want to be involved in ministry, but their financial life is a mess. And they don't get it, because it starts with a life of faith with God. If you can give your check, you can give your heart. The moment God opened Lydia's heart, God opened her home, and God opened her icebox. It has nothing to do with giving. It has everything to do with a life of faith. This is the kingdom that God brought you into. "These are the kingdom rules that I have not set. Show me a man and woman who tithes. I'll show you a man and woman that is out of debt. Show me a man and woman that doesn't tithe. I'll show you a man and woman in debt." Every single time when I choose to go my way, it is a revelation of my heart that I'm not committed to God. Number three, it's a way to replenish you financially. In verse 12, "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" So when you are faithful with God, then God will take care of you. One of the things that I have really come to believe in my life, and of course, this is easy for me to teach, because this is part of my life. I love giving. You can talk to my wife. I'll give away our couch. I'll give away tools. I mean, there's something about it that I love to give. The thing that bothers me the most is when I'm strapped and can't do, then I start giving away things. Because you just can't outgive God. Now, I was taught by my mother to be gracious. I was taught by my mother to be forgiving and to give. And I watched her take food out of my mouth and take it down the street to a neighbor. And those were devastating times as a hungry boy, chubby. And I was hungry, but she lived what she believed. She, to this day, at 75, goes over and helps different people who are going through cancer because she wants to give of her life. Her life has been blessed. I've watched it with Pastor Chuck. As I look at 450 acres they have up in the mountains for the children and 40 acres down at Marietta Hot Springs, and now they just got a snow summit. Someone just gave them a ski hill for free, and they just bought a piece of property over in Hungary to raise pastors, and everything's paid in the whole fellowship. It's because he has given freely. And God has found a man that he can pour a world through without touching it. And lastly, I think it's remolds you personally. Notice in verse 13, it goes on to declare the very same thing. In verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will love the other and will not hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." So it brings you to a decision within your life. So four reasons why I think you ought to be giving. Number one, There are eternal benefits right now that you and I need to begin to invest. Number two, it releases you to do ministry. Because you are now a good steward, you are getting yourself out of debt and you're able to move or go where God wants you to go. And you have a light touch on the things of this world. Number three, I think very simply, because God wants to replenish that which you give to Him, and He wants to add 100 times back to it. And number four, very simply, He wants to remold your personality to remind you that you got to make a decision who you're going to serve in your life. Well, this man came to himself. He woke up one day and realized that the master wanted the books. And the master was going to find out that he had been cheating. And he was now going to lose his job. Well, a couple of things come to my mind. Number one, he forgot about his master. Number two, he wasn't diligent with other people's money. And number three, he made the tragic mistake of thinking that he was absolutely in power and no one could touch him. Well, a day came that God summons the book and God said, "You're fired." And God took away from him everything. Now, that can happen here. If I don't do this right, if I don't teach the way that God wants me to teach with strong teaching and with great exhortation and authority, if I whimper and want to please you more than I want to please God, He'll take it away. I believe that with all my heart. I fear God. If I abuse the money or spend the money, and by the way, I don't know who gives here. Haven't known for 30 years, don't want to know. And the reason why is I don't want to be altered. And so you can be talking to me and never give a penny, or you can give a whole bunch and it won't make a difference. I don't know. But I do every 6 months ask, "Wendell, is the leadership giving?" And I have found that when the leadership stops giving, they stop believing in the church. And then they start moving towards the back of the church, and then they walk out the back door. Well, all they're doing is hurting themselves. You are to give regardless where you go. You are to see God more than a church. You are to be tuned in to the stewardship that your body is not your own. As a single, you are to be a good steward of your life. You're not to put yourself in a situation that you're going to be raped. You're not to be able to put yourself in a situation that some guy's going to come after you. So you need to be a steward of the way you dress. And the way that some singles dress, they need to be exhorted. Because you're stumbling the brothers and they're flirting with you, and that ought not to be in a woman's life as a Christian. But guys, you need to be a steward. These are your sisters. You need to protect them, not look over them. And they know it when you're looking at them, because you don't look at their eyes and you don't look at their mouth. You're looking every place but their eyes. You owe it to them to look there. You are to be a good steward at home. You are to maintain your home. And if you are to die, you should take care of your wife and she should have things in order. You are to be a steward of your kids. You're to know where they go to school and who their teachers are and what's going on and what they like and what sports they do. You need to be involved with your children and you need to check things out. And as a ministry, we need to be a good steward in this community and win this community for Jesus Christ. So stewardship embraces all things. But he came to himself and he was found that he was wanting. And he had wasted his master. Kind of interesting, the prodigal son, he wasted his life. The elder son never enjoyed his life. And here was this man who just destroyed his life. He destroyed it because he forgot. He destroyed it because he saw the master in a far place but didn't keep contact with him. "Well, Steve, this is my money." It's not your money. It's not my money, it's not the church's money, it's not your money, it's God's money. You see, God, when He made you, He gave you the ability to redeem the time. And I'll close with this. To be a good steward, you are to redeem your time, for the days are evil. The word redeem in Ephesians 5:18 means to buy up the opportunity. There is plenty of time in a day. You just need to buy it up so you have time with the kids. You need to buy it up so you can get involved in the church. You need to buy it up so you can get on home. You need to discipline yourself and get the thing done and not take all day to do it. And that's what it means to redeem the time. For the rest of your life, you are to redeem the time. Well, Steve, I need to get caught up. You're never going to get caught up until you're caught up in the sky. That's just the way it is. There's always going to be something, but you redeem the time. If you wanted to play golf, you'd have time. If you wanted to go watch a hockey game, well, we'd make time. If we could get a free house, we'd make time. So there's time that I need to redeem. Number one, redeem the time. Number two, I need to realize that He's also given me not only time, but talent. These hands, this mind, this heart, God gave. He gave me the ability to build, gave me the ability to dream. He wants me to use that for the kingdom of God, not for myself. And so I find oftentimes that we brag about the gifts that we have. God gave you the mind. All things came. He made you. He implanted that talent, and you're the best at what you do. There's no one better, probably, than what you do, but what do you do? And it is to build the kingdom of God. It is to be part of the kingdom of God. Number three, we find that we are to understand that the treasure comes from Him. That God has imparted His Word into my heart, and I am to take younger brothers, and you are to take younger brothers and sisters and pour into them the Word of God, that they might be able to go out and share the Word of God. That which I have received, I give. I am to mentor. I am to minister. We've lost this generation because we have not mentored our kids. We've been out making money, and we haven't been home with our kids, and so this generation's about lost. But I need to use my time. I need to use my talent. I need to use that treasure that God has given to me and share the gospel of Christ one with another. And then lastly, I need to tithe. I need to give to the kingdom of God. If I do these things, it's a wonderful thing. And Jesus, by the way, did not say that man was not ethical. He said he was very unethical. But because he moved with such quickness, because he was so shrewd when he was caught, because he moved with a fierce motion that there was a moment that he could grab it, he seized the opportunity. Jesus said, that's how I want you to live, Christians. You need to buy up every opportunity. You need to grab every opportunity. You need to use every opportunity. And those are the wonderful things. So, if we would give, everything would be paid off, and we could go full on evangelism to the world. I do not believe the church is to have money. And my goal is to see what God wants to do, but He's done a wonderful thing now. Let's be obedient. You don't want to give, you take that up with God. Your life will be a mess. But if you learn to give, and learn to forgive, and learn to give your time, and learn to give your talent, and learn to be a blessing, God in heaven will never let you outdo Him. His shovel is much bigger than yours. Father, we pray this morning that You would take everything, and God, You know my timing is not to show the building, then teach on tithing. I feel weird about that, but I thank You, Lord, that as we go through the Bible, it just happened to be today. And so, Lord, we thank You that You have given to us many things that we need to reevaluate. The priority. Lord, the tenth is Yours and the 90% is Yours. The whole thing is Yours. And you have given it to us to manage it, to be a good steward of it, to use it to build your kingdom, to invest in the life of others. Lord, to use our talents, our time. Lord, to use the treasure that you placed in our hearts. God, we are so selfish. Lord, we just need more time, and Lord, in your kingdom, to give time is to have time. Lord, we need more money, and in your kingdom, to give money is to have money. Lord, we need more talent, and Lord, to give talent is to have talent. That which I seek to hang on to, I lose. And that which I lose, I get to keep. Lord, there are a set of rules that you have predestined. There is the decisions that we need to make. God, the way we handle our money is a horrible barometer of where we are spiritually with you. Well, Lord, you want everything. Our mind, our soul, our heart, our being. Lord, you don't want to hurt us. Lord, you want us to be protected. So speak to your people about you. Not about this church, about you. Lord, I wonder if we can say that there are going to be people in heaven because I supported Russia, or supported this, or have done this. But Lord, every one of us is going to give an account for our marriage, for our single life, for the business, for being an employer, for being an employee, for the way that we held the office of the church, for the way the teaching has gone out, for the way the worship has come forth. We will stand and give an account. I pray with all my heart for these people that I love so much and myself, that we would never say that we are caught off guard, that we have lost the privilege, that we lost the respect, and that we have not been filled with integrity and accountability. Make us wise stewards. Trust us with your glory. That's a pretty bold statement. But Lord, I'm asking that you would take this fellowship, and that God, that you would pour your reservoir through it. That we would become a channel. That Lord, that we would not touch it. But Lord, we would pass it on. Give us that opportunity, Lord, to grow in this area. Start here with us. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?
More good study from Pastor Steve Mays. Now, if you'd like to know more about the many resources available through Light of the Word, call us at 1-800-339-WISE, and we'll be glad to send the complete catalog your way. And thanks for listening. Once again, here's Pastor Steve.
One of the great things you can do is pass this tape on to someone else that you might know that needs it or will just receive a blessing. Continue to stay in touch. Keep us in prayer. We'll be praying for you. God bless.
Let it be.